The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So, hello then. Thanks for popping by. You've happened upon the XFM Breakfast Show podcast. This is week four now.
Four.
This is your fourth podcast. And in it, Matt, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for the radio.
Oh, yes.
What else? Oh, Kelly Jones.
Oh, yes.
Kelly Jones, off of Stereophonics, will be playing Pop Stars Win Prizes.
Looking live.
He did look live, like a live rock star.
Yeah.
He's like a whippet. There was a bear loose, wasn't there? Five Live. You probably saw it in the news. Five Live this week. A bear got loose in the studio during Sheila Fogarty's show. We've got exclusive audio of that happening. And we asked you for your film prequels this week on the podcast. I think we're really selling this well. Again, the memo about doing this introduction to the podcast says, can you do it high octane as an introduction? And again, we've sort of, it's not even octane, is it? Let alone high.
Wow.
Although you're high, aren't you?
Yes. Post-show.
That's what you do. That's how you do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can tell in Matt's voice, he's really overexcited.
It's one of those legal highs, though.
Oh, yeah. We're not condoning an illegal high. I've got a cold, did I mention that?
Yeah.
This has just turned into a conversation now, so it's not really an introduction.
Just play the podcast.
Okay. It is your XFM Breakfast Show. I am John Holmes. Matt's birthday this morning. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
I've just realised it's also Rich Walters' birthday, of course, isn't it? And I didn't say happy birthday back to him earlier.
Outrageous.
Sorry, Rich.
Outrageous.
I didn't know that I share the same birthday as him.
Rich, feel free to come round.
How rude of me. We didn't mention it.
Did you come in and go, it's my birthday?
No.
Did you?
He just said,
because he remembered yours politely.
As soon as I got here, he said, happy birthday. And I said, oh, thanks. Yeah. But then
rude.
He just got in.
Plain rude.
Couldn't get off. I'm so happy for you, Rich. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Many happy returns.
And you.
Dan O'Connell's birthday as well.
Dan O'Connell's
birthday. What the hell is this? It's the rule that you work at XFM, you've got to have a birthday on. Dave and I have to leave. It's the only. That's what's going to happen.
Ludicrous nonsense. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So good morning then, XFM Breakfast. I'm down now in the under-resourced studio here at XFM. It isn't really a studio, to be fair. It's just a cupboard where they normally keep the mops. But it's where we invite bands to play sessions with whatever instruments they can find in our under-resourced cupboard. Please welcome this morning Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds.
Noel, welcome.
John,
you all right?
Very well.
You?
You're
looking well.
A little bit of grooming.
It's looking nice. You're looking good on it.
Thanks
a little bit
much.
Of grooming. Now, the obvious question, of course, is I've got to ask you first about the High Flying Birds, because I've heard a rumour, I don't know if it's true or not, the birds are actually the corpses of birds that you've just filled with helium. Is that a true... is that a fair assessment of the situation, Noel?
It's in a mix.
A mix,
it's a mix of the two. So we've got some real birds.
Yeah.
And then some helium corpses.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the birds is the variety of them that you've got. I mean, I've seen on just on the way. I'm just looking over there. There's an egret there. Is that an eagle you've got there as well?
I'll be honest,
a fully grown eagle.
I don't know. I have people to do this for me. We have a whole bird division now.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not bird knowledge.
I'm not an ornithologist.
No. Well, I was going to pick you up on that as well, because one of the birds you've actually got is Paul Heaton, isn't it, from the House Martins? And what you've done with him is you've sort of hollowed him out, right, and also filled him with helium, and he's now floating over there between what looks to be a thrush and a dead crow.
You'd be surprised how many sort of music legends are really quite willing to be hollowed out and brought into the bird sanctuary that we have.
Have you got an actual sanctuary?
Yeah, at Gallagher
HQ. That's good, isn't it? How big is it?
It's just by the Etihad Stadium up in Manchester.
Yeah.
And it's where they used to train for the Commonwealth Games when they had them there.
And you've now bought that?
We bought that.
Filled it with...
Yeah, that was always the long-term plan. We funded the training stadium, and now it's our bird sanctuary. We just put a cage on the top.
Mate, for a man who knows nothing, self-confessed non-ornithologist, you know, you do seem to be quite keen on the birds, don't you?
I'm a businessman, John. Birds are business.
Yeah, I can see.
Wings equal wonga. Beaks equal bucks.
What song are you going to do for us?
She's electric.
All right, what instrument have you chosen from the under-resourced cupboard?
An electric keyboard. There's only one keyboard in the cupboard.
Yeah,
I was told there would be a selection of instruments. Having a play about it in the sound check just now, and the little button that flicks between the instruments, that's stuck down. So it just keeps changing.
Yeah, it does do that, yeah. But the upside, it did have batteries in it, which it didn't last week. So.
Yeah.
So you're going to perform, she's electric, with that keyboard, but also I understand that all of the birds you've brought in, I mean, they're quite loud as it is. Yeah. The live ones, obviously the dead ones aren't making a lot of noise, but the few live ones you've got, they're going to be accompanying you in my
That's the point of the band.
Right.
They add to the ambiance.
Right, that's good, isn't it? So, ladies and gentlemen, in the under-resourced studio, please welcome Noel Gallagher and his some dead, some alive, helium-filled, high-flying birds.
She's electric. She's got a family full of eccentrics. She's done things I never expected, and I need more time. And I want you to know what the hell's this instrument, but I need more time. And I want you to say, do you know what I'm saying? But I need more, cause I'll be you and you'll be me. There's lots and lots for us to see. There's lots and lots for us to do. If she's electric, can I be electric too?
No, that was certainly there, wasn't it? So what was that noise at the end, by the way?
I don't know, it's just one of those instruments and it's a horrible noise, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was disgusting.
That's fine.
It's
good to end on a high.
Yeah. Speaking of which, all the helium's leaking out of these birds now, because that was quite... they were moving around quite a lot, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think we'll leave it there, because we just got to get out of here and try to change around the corpses of the birds.
Yeah, good idea.
Of the birds now.
Okay!
Yeah, why not? Like, the ostrich's neck. Don't trip it on that. That was health and safety. I think waiting to happen, that. Find that emu! This is XFM!
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So good morning, then. It is XFM Breakfast, of course. It's at breakfast time, that's why it's a breakfast programme, that's the logic, that's how it sort of works. Very pleased to welcome into the studio, well, none other than Kelly Jones. Hello, Kelly Jones.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Good, you look very fine, not very well, very live.
I'm a bit hungover, actually. On Tuesday, when I turned up, I was in father mode, but last night I took the crew out last night for fish and chips, and I'm absolutely hanging.
Well, it's good. We should point out that we did, you came in on Wednesday, the wrong day, first of all, wasn't it?
Well, I was watching Top Cat.
you do, don't you?
Well, yeah. I like Top Cat, and I was watching Top Cat, and the taxi didn't turn up at 7:40. I thought, this is going to be a problem. And it was snowing, so I walked out into the street and I was trying to flag a black cab because I was trying to be very professional and turn up on time. My parents were up and all that, and I thought, well, I'll get you on time. And I got you 10 minutes early, and then they said, sorry, mate, you're on the wrong day. So I've come back today and I'm hanging. So I was professional on the original day.
I like that we've caught you in more rock star mode. Yeah, I don't want a rock star.
Watching Top Cat.
Watching Top Cat.
I like Top Cat.
Which is your favourite character in Top Cat?
Top Cat.
Yeah.
Come on, Benny. Surely Benny.
Oh, Benny's good, isn't he?
Benny's good, though, isn't he? Good. Let's talk about graffiti on a train. And I don't mean, you know, the vandalism generally. I mean the new album out on the 4th of March. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, the record's out soon. Well, we've been, you know, last year was the first year we didn't go on tour for, I think, about 16 years. And we found this little place which we turned into a studio, and we just went into work every day. And it was great because we never had a den before, really. We always used to make a record for 6 weeks and then go on the road for 18 months. And 7 albums later, that was kind of the cycle, you know, 15 years. So,
do you find it a difficult process in terms of trying to juggle the songwriting with touring so relentlessly? Do you write songs on tour, or do you have to lock yourself away to do it?
No, I've I've always written songs on tour. I mean, after your first record, you haven't got much choice, really. That's what, that's what it is, really.
As long as it's a success. Exactly. Thank goodness for that. Yeah. Have you ever vandalised anything yourself out of interest growing up in
Cardiff? Yeah, I bought some Sharpies, and I remember, and I bought them in this paper shop, which the guy, I was actually doing a paper round in the same shop, and I had my £4.97 at the end of the week, and I bought a pen, and I went outside and wrote on his wall. I thought, that's a bit stupid, really. Because, I mean, he just saw me by the marker, and then I wrote my name on his wall.
That's writing the hand that feeds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been tough. I only did it once.
I did a similar thing, actually. When I was about, I don't know, 13, 14, because we thought we were cool and would be in a gang, wasn't it? It was just sort of children, you know. We called ourselves the Prowlers. Yeah, like, sort of, what was that about?
Oh, good.
And I'd
like the Warriors.
It was based on the Warriors, because we just seen
Swan.
Warriors.
You Swan. Swan.
Ajax.
Ajax. And now he's in Sex and the City. It's all gone, it's all gone wrong, isn't it? He's in Django.
Yeah, he is, you're
he's
right.
He's on the horse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're all in Django.
Yeah, they're all in Django, yeah. You don't last very long, or you kill him in the first scene.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry about that. Yeah. If you're an Ajax fan, I don't mean the stuff you clean the bog with. I mean Ajax from the Warriors.
Yeah. I wrote the word Prowlers on the back of a Triumph Dolomite. I'm not proud of it.
That is all right, mate.
Yeah, not proud of that.
Triumph Dolomite.
Good. No, it was light blue. Yeah. It was light blue.
Did you get caught?
Nope. It's out there somewhere.
Wow.
Warriors, interesting. Walter Hill, it was an interview with Walter Hill, because his new film's out. No, I didn't. I just read one. We don't get that level of guest on it.
What about Jamie Foxx?
No. Oh, we've done Tarantino. I mean, we're slumming it today, I realise.
Quentin. I know, yeah. You've got some blow for Wales there. Terrible.
I know. What a come down.
I know.
I forgot the point I was making. Oh, yeah, Walter Hill. Yeah, so he said that when the Warriors is being reissued and loads of kids are coming to it new to watch the film. The Warriors, and he's had a lot of questions, and look, the production design is amazing, the graffiti on the trains.
Yeah, it is,
And he's going, yeah, we just filmed it in New York, it was like that then, and
it was though, wasn't it? I mean, we used to have that. My old man was, like I said, he was just singing in the clubs and stuff, and he used to go around, my brothers used to babysit for me, and it was a bloke in the end of the road with a pub. And he had two drawers in the pub, in the back room of the pub, with Betamax films. And I would have to walk in there with my pyjamas on and get these films for my brothers, who were probably some girl on the couch at the time.
And
he said, you can have anything from this drawer. He said, just don't go in the top drawer. I thought, immediately you go in the top drawer.
That's where I keep the back editions of Top Cat.
That was there, the Warriors, Slapshot, the lot, man.
Slapshot?
But the Warriors was the one, yeah.
We're gonna move on, and we're going to play Pop Stars Win Prizes.
Okay.
It's called that simply for the alliteration. I'm not lumping you in with Ollie Murs or anything like that.
That's right.
There was just no...
It's a broad term.
There are also no prizes.
No, that's what I mean. It's a broad term. Prizes,
yeah.
What are they?
Yeah. So we'll be back to play Pop Stars Win Prizes with Kelly Jones, our voice of Stereophonics. Don't cough. After this.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
BlackBerry is trending on Twitter ahead of the launch of two new handsets later. The makers of the phones hoping to catch up with rivals like Apple and Samsung. And Smashing Pumpkins have announced three UK tour dates for July.
That's a lot of fruit and veg in one bulletin, Matt, isn't it? Apple, BlackBerry,
yes.
Pumpkins.
Yes, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very
up a greengrocer's store.
That's the healthiest news bulletin I've ever heard.
I tried to get all of you five a day in.
Get two more.
And there's more pressure building on Aston Villa manager Paul Lambert after his side dropped into the Premier League relegation zone after slipping on another banana skin. Villa haven't won in the top flight since mid-December.
Good. Weather.
It will turn dry with some sunshine this afternoon. A high of 11 right now at the Gherkin.
Oh!
It's a vegetable. It's 9.
Good work!
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
XFM Breakfast then, good morning. Kelly Jones is still with us in the studio.
Good morning.
How's your cough going?
It's all right, mate. Yeah, I'm all right now.
He was basically sick during that. We're going to play Pop Stars Win Prizes then. There are no prizes, but if you do all right in the quiz, we will play your single.
That's great.
You ready to play?
Reward, yeah.
Here we go. So question number one, there are three questions, A, B and C answers.
Okay.
First question, fairly newly released CGI boat film of the book news now, and fairly recently saw the release of the CGI boat-based film of the book, The Life of P. Diddy. Tells the story of a young boy who finds himself stranded on a boat in the Pacific Ocean with the American rapper, record producer, media executive, musician, actor and entrepreneur Sean Combs, aka P. Diddy. Together, the two unlikely companions contemplate spirituality and the 1994 shooting of Tupac that triggered the feud between East and West Coast rappers that led to the killing of the notorious B.I.G. But The Life of P. Diddy isn't the only notable boat/music-based film. Name the other one. Is it A, Titanic Kershaw? Is it B, Muse to Neon the Bounty? Or is it C, Moby Dick?
Well, well, I would go with Moby Dick, even though I would like to go with some of the other ones. I think Moby Dick is on the shelf.
You plumped correctly. It's the right answer. Yeah. Very well done. Question number two. History-based history news now, history music news. And around and about this day in 1879 saw the famous Battle for Rorke's Drifters during the Anglo-Zulu War. The English army famously deployed the 1960s
American... Actually, they sent the Welsh to the front line, didn't they? And the Welsh all died...
It's not based on facts. Don't come here with your facts.
No, it's all right, yeah.
The Welsh did all right.
Rorke's Drift went bad down the way.
But the Drifters saved the day. The American doo-wop and R&B soul vocal group The Drifters defended the mission station in conjunction with the Welsh from an intense assault by 4,000 Zulu warriors armed only with their greatest hits and a boardwalk. The popular music band, who still tour today with no original members, finally defeated the Zulus with an a cappella version of their 1964 number 9 hit Saturday Night at the Movies. But this isn't the only well-known band-based battle. Name the other one. Is it A, the Battle of Bulooey Song? B, the Battle of Waterloo Reef? Or is it C, the Charge of the Lighthouse Family?
Oh, lifted. I'm going to go with A. It's got to be A.
Battle of Bluey Sun.
It's got to be, isn't it?
That's the right answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it is. Here's question three. More than 140 countries have agreed on a set of legally binding measures to curb Freddie Mercury pollution at UN talks. Delegates in Geneva approved measures to control the use of the highly toxic singer of Queen in order to reduce the amount of Freddie Mercury released into the environment. The UN recently published data that showed Freddie Mercury was rising in a number of developing nations. The deal was agreed after all-night talks. Your question, name five famous knights.
Michael Knight, the bloke that made that film.
Yeah, cut that.
Didn't Jeremy Piven have mercury poison once?
Yes, he did.
I'm just killing time, though.
Yeah, I know. You're playing for thinking time.
Ari Gold time, that is. Michael Knight.
You said that.
I said that, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, but which Michael Knight were we talking about?
We were talking about the one that you just said.
From Knight Rider.
Yeah, him.
No, I was talking about the director. Michael Knight, blah, blah, blah.
Good. That's two, then.
Richard Gere was in a film with a knight, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's true.
Knight Rider. Don't know me. Knight Ranger.
Oh, good.
Knight Ranger. Yeah. Secret of My Success.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox. Terrible. And that's about as far as I can go.
Well, that's fine. Let me tell you what I got written on the card. Name five famous knights.
Go
I had
then.
Annie Nightingale.
Oh, that was very good.
Knight Rider you got. In White Satin. Gladys and the Pips.
Oh, no. I like that.
Mayor on Elm Street. Course, you could have had any of those. let's go to Matt. Matt's got the scores. He's been very clever adding those.
We have...
Matt's making this up as he goes along with listeners because he wasn't paying attention at all during the whole quiz.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
I'm John Holmes. Matt is Matt Dyson.
Or Bat Dyson.
Bat Matt. Bitten by some radioactive news while hanging upside down in a cave. And now he's imbued with all the power of a bat and Hugh Edwards.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether, as your role as a news gentleman, you've seen any of the news today.
Yeah.
Have you seen in percentage terms, what percentage of the news would you say you'd seen?
I think I've seen about 70% of it.
That's quite good. It's quite a lot of it, yeah. A lot of the news, isn't it? I don't know whether... Well, I know you've seen this news, because it was in your news that J.J. Abrams, of course, has now admitted that, yes, he will be directing the new Star Wars sequel that's coming out, and the fans are... You know, it's like it's divided them slightly, hasn't it? It's a bit like with the Strokes single yesterday. You know, some people like the idea, some people go, you know, dear, it sounds like aha. So, whichever camp you're, which camp are you in? Just out of interest, Matt. I'm not that interested in this. I'm just bantering.
I think it sounds like it's probably going to be good. Are you seeing they're going to film some of it in Greenhithe in Kent as well?
Is that right?
Yeah, near the Blue Water Shopping Centre.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the... It's, yeah, well, it's
a bleak, desolate wasteland that will recreate the feeling of space.
Yeah, just Gravesend, then.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do. But because of the sort of news of the sequels, and of course, Star Wars famously, sequels and prequels and so on and so forth, I thought on today's text in. This is the bit where we set the text up.
Oh right, I didn't realise. It just felt so natural. I didn't realise we were going into it.
Pulled the curtain away. I'm showing you the magic now of how this all happens.
Right.
Yeah. The today's text in. I thought could be film prequels. your suggestions of film prequels. Let me give you an example, shall I? Okay. Give you an example. So, for instance, there could be a film prequel, Fiddler in the Lift.
Ah, that's good.
Do you see?
That's good, yeah.
That's the sort of thing we want.
Right, I
see. Yeah, 83936.
Just titles.
Just titles. The titles, yeah. Schindler's To-Do List.
Oh, that's good.
But have you got, do you have an idol?
Well, there was Man-Made Lake Cats, which was the less popular prequel to Reservoir Dogs.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Twigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice.
38 Steps, which is also a tribute band. If you've ever seen them, it's a spectacle. Worth seeing. Raiders of the Ark.
Yes, that's true.
Technically,
that's good.
That would work.
Nothing Particularly Against Bill, Volume 1.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
BBC Radio 5 Live, Sheila Fogarty. She was doing an interview in the studio at 5 Live, and she was interviewing a man. And all of a sudden, they noticed, just halfway through the interview, you've probably seen the video and stuff online, it's all over YouTube and it's gone viral and stuff, but she was interviewing a man, and then suddenly he noticed a bear in the room, in the corner of the studio, and they hadn't really seen it, and then he sort of said, oh, there's a bear, and she started to panic because there was a bear in the studio with them, and we've got, I think we've got the clip, actually, if you haven't heard it, it's very funny, because there was a bear in a radio studio. This is what happened.
It relates to legislation.
And what about, sorry, did you want to say something?
Sorry, I just got from...
Oh my God! How horrible! Oh gosh, I'm sorry, I'm live on the radio squealing and saying how horrible and kneeling on my chair because of... Oh! Are you okay? I'm just about okay, but these feet aren't touching the ground. It's really quite ridiculous. We're on a webcam. If you've never watched the programme online, now is definitely the time. No camera, you can see it. I don't care. Please stop. Just get it out of here.
You can have it.
Oh, God. Oh. I don't want to carry on doing this programme. If it walks on my hand, I'm resigning.
That was when a bear got into Radio 5 Live's studio, smashed stuff up, and the sad news, Sheila Fogarty now dead.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Brad in Ruislip, the best exotic marigold youth hostel. JP in Hackney, sending Private Ryan. Have you got...
There's loads of them,
there's loads of these coming.
The 30th of October, for the prequel to Halloween. Liz Dan Scott.
Max in Hither Green, Losing Red October.
Snakes at check-in. Silence of the Pregnant Sheep.
Teacher Ellie, Before Harry Met Sally.
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
XFM. Lords of Misrule. On XFM. So Dave, what was your door meeting yesterday then? What did you have to go to yesterday?
Air conditioning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty hot. Or cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, what was wrong with the air conditioning? What was the meeting about?
As you know, every now and then in here, the air conditioning, the temperature of the room kind of increases and decreases. And
randomly.
It's a bit out of control.
Like it was controlled by a poltergeist.
Eh? Indeed. So I had to pop along.
And how long was this pop? How long
it was only about 5 minutes, this one.
Well,
so
that's not bad, is it?
Yeah,
that's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
That's almost a chat in the corridor.
That's true.
What were the phrases suggested? I think Mark in Battersea had come up with a phrase, am I right?
Yeah.
And Joanne in Camden had come up with a phrase as well. We liked both, so you thought you'd get two in.
I thought I'd go for two.
Double corporate arse speak whammy,
yeah.
Dave. So what were they? What were the phrases? Remind us of the what you had to get in. Have you gotten there?
Yeah, well, Mark's was, I don't think of you as a colleague, I regard you as a co-conspirator.
Nice.
Collaborating in the cause of creating desire.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
and
good,
then Joanne's was a bit more to the point. Yeah. I see this meeting as a do tank, not a think tank.
Oh, these are good. Right, so Dave, meeting about air conditioning, those were the phrases. Did he get them in? Let's see.
That's the day by putting it so hot in the morning.
No, well, we don't have it that hot. I mean...
Yeah, but it's always pretty hot. It's like we come in and it's like, I know it's cold outside, but it's kind of... We're in a controlled building, aren't we? So I don't think there's any reason to turn it up.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I actually think it's because there's a fault within the air conditioning, so that's probably not something that we can deal with in the studio.
Don't get angry, Dave.
I don't think of you as a colleague, Dan. I regard you as a co-conspirator collaborating in the cause of creating desire. And I see this meeting as a do tank, not a think tank. So with that in mind, I feel that we should be thinking about what we can do for the problem rather than just moaning about it.
I love the way that no one really mentions it. And you sort of press on and get it back to normal without anyone. It's like stealth aspect.
I think they think it's my thing now.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Good morning, XFM Breakfast, and I'm very pleased to welcome, and I say this a lot to guests when they come in, Denzel Washington, who you are.
Yes.
I say this to a lot of people. I say I'm very pleased to welcome them to XFM. It's really good to have you. And quite a lot of the time, I'm lying. But in your case, I'm not.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing to have you in. And there's so much we can talk about with you, of course, because you're just A-list Hollywood, for goodness sake, Oscar-winning, currently Oscar-nominated as well, for Flight, which I saw yesterday. That's a bit of a stunning film, isn't it? You must be pretty proud of this.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Zemeckis directed a great film.
Tell us a little bit about the role, for those that may not know.
Right, it's about I play an airline pilot who miraculously crash lands his plane and saves everyone's lives, and he's considered a hero, but in fact, he'd had a few before.
Yeah, just a few.
Yeah, he had a few, a few things, and it's about his sort of downward spiral as he's being considered a hero, and he's really a heavy drinker, and ultimately about his redemption.
It is. It's a downward spiral, sort of literally and metaphorically.
That's right.
So now the plane. I mean, this is. I know it's been out there now. This isn't going to spoil it for anyone, but your character turns the plane upside down to bring it under control.
Right.
And apparently that can be done.
That's
because I was watching it, and it is one of the most dramatic sequences you'll ever see, I think, in terms of a film action point. I think it's incredible.
Right.
But it can be done. I mean, you
can turn a big jetliner upside down, but not for long, because all the fluids now over in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So it'll run out of gas immediately, the oils and the stable, you know,
all the important stuff
now is in the wrong place, so you'll crash.
I'm not sure which had more liquid in it, your character.
Yeah, if you turned me upside down, I'd blow up as well.
it's fair to say you go through a fair amount of vodka and other substances in the film. Now, but because I read that you didn't drink at all during the making of it.
No, that's a lie. No, I didn't.
So, how did you approach it then? Because, you play, and again, this is a compliment, you played a realistic drunk man.
You don't have to kill somebody to play a murderer, so, I didn't have to.
Robert De Niro would.
I didn't want to, I wouldn't drink and drive, I was about to say. I wouldn't drink and act anyway.
Yeah.
I've never done. In fact, I did that once here in London, back in the 80s, I forgot the young actor's name. We were doing a scene where we were supposed to be drunk, and we thought, we'll have a couple of pints of Guinness and some Jamesons, and and we were terrible. The director was like, "What's wrong with you?" And we were like, "Oh shoot, we're busted."
Learn your lesson.
Yeah, I learned my lesson on that film back in the 80s.
But other stuff you've done as well. Let's just talk about it very quickly. I imagine Shakespeare. You're a producer. You were in Death Wish.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum's first role was in Death Wish as well.
I wasn't in Death Wish. They got that on IMDb.
They have got that on IMDb.
And I don't know where they got it from.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I wasn't even born then.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's on IMDb. We got to get rid of that.
You've got to get rid of that.
Yeah. It says third guy from the rear or something. I don't know.
It does. Hang on, I'll tell you what it says. I can write it down. It says mugger in alleyway.
Not me.
That's what it says.
Well, I've been a mugger in an alleyway, but not in that movie.
Just in real life.
Just in real life.
I flew a plane once. I was in Argentina, and basically like the crop dusting, the little plane in the Cessna. It was a Cessna, same as the one in the York movie.
Yeah.
Not the big one, the small one.
Right.
And the guy was flying it, and he just sort of handed me the control. Just says, "Well, now you do it."
I've done that.
Oh, okay.
I did that. We were on safari.
Yeah.
And he said, "You give it a shot." So yeah.
But it's sort of nerve wracking, isn't it?
I tell you what, my youngest son was about 4 or 5 years, maybe 5 years old, and he put him behind the wheel as well, and he had a really good touch, and the pilot takes his hands off the wheel, and my son is flying the plane, so the pilot is like, "All right, just take it nice and easy." He says, "Now just a little bank it to the right, turn to the right a little bit, Malcolm just turned it to the right, and we just, and then he starts looking out the window. Like, true story. He's 5 years old. He's flying the plane. Of course, we're on the back. Like,
get him off the plane. He can't even ride a bike. Get him off.
He can't even write his name.
XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So Matthew Dyson. Don't know whether you're familiar with the broadcaster Jeff Lloyd. Jeff Lloyd off Absolute Radio. You're familiar with his
one? Oh, yes.
He's a noted bully, isn't he? I mean, he obviously, by way of explaining, the radio industry is a very small place, really, and it's very much like a playground. We all, after our shows, we all go outside to play at break and stuff in London, and we all sort of hang out in Leicester Square at break. And Jeff's the bully. He's very much the bully of radio, I find. Yeah. He once nicked Ian Canfield's lunch money, didn't he, famously? Remember that? Yeah. And gave John Hillcock that wedgie, didn't he? Remember that? But he's picking on you now. He's been picking on you on air.
Really?
Yeah, on air, mind. On his programme. Oh, Absolute, which, no one in their right mind listens to, I realise. But he has been picking on you. And we should have a listen to this, because I think it's very... He's specifically honing on your awful weather reports.
Oh, really?
That aren't of good quality.
You've had a go at it in the past.
As we know. Well, yes. But it's nice that Jess picked up on it as well. So he's not happy. Here he is. This is from yesterday.
I hold Dyson personally responsible for British summertime.
Oh, Jess.
See?
It's not good. And I hold Dyson personally responsible.
See, it's picking on you now.
What?
I know. And it's not just that as well. He also, he's accusing you of all sorts, really, by being cruel to people. Have a listen to this one. This is about...
Employees of Dyson have had to sign a contractual agreement not to speak about it to anyone, not even their spouse.
No.
Yeah. Dyson, he's on to you.
Yeah, my employees,
that team you have. He's on to you, Jeff. But this is the weird one. You're to blame for a lot of things, obviously. But this is one I think he's actually nailed you. I think he's nailed what is your fault. Okay, he's got you here. He has got you with this. This is...
I hold Dyson personally responsible for vegetarians and Bon Jovi.
Yeah. It's all your fault, Matt. And Jeff Lloyd is on to you.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Now, look, it's a pleasure to have you in. I thought if it's all right with you, we're going to play a little flight-related game.
Okay.
This is Matt. He's... I don't know what he does. He just hangs about. But you're going to be playing against him, right? Okay. This is a game that we call Band or Something Else. And I thought what we do, we play Band. So I'll call out the name of something, right? And we'll go between the two of you. And it's either the name of a band I found on Spotify or the name of a plane. So planes have, not just code names. I mean, like names like Memphis Belle would be a good example, right? So all you have to do is give me band or plane.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. Alphabetical order, of course, Matt and Denzel. Matt first. So, Matt, is this a band or is it a plane? Hellcat.
Plane.
It is a plane, yeah. It's an F-6. It's a Grumman F-6.
That's right.
Well done. Yeah. Denzel Washington. Banshee.
That's a band.
It's a plane, Richard. Oh. It's a plane, yeah.
It's a band, too. You never heard of band?
I don't. My rules, Washington. Come on. It's a Douglas A24.
Okay.
Fireface, Matt. Fireface.
They're a metal band.
And a plane. So you're half a point.
What, they're both?
Yeah. Half a point for that. Ooh. Yeah. Warning Star.
I'm going to say band.
Oh, you'd be wrong, because it's a plane again. It's a Lockheed RC-121. Matt, Liberator.
That's a plane.
It is a plane. Well done, yeah.
I'm getting killed here.
You are. Come on, you need to make a comeback.
All right.
Cornell.
Yeah. I'm going to say plane.
You're right.
It's a band.
Oh. Hold that thought. Well, actually, it's both. Of course, Chris Cornell.
And
the Cornell is a Fairchild PT-19, obviously.
Who doesn't know that?
Exactly. Double points there for Mr. Washington, I think, on that one. Flying Tiger.
A band.
It's a band, well done.
Yes.
Emperor Machine, Denzel.
I'm going to say band.
You'd be right to do it so. It is a band. Air Cobra. One word.
It screams plane.
It does scream plane loudly. It is a plane. Bearcat.
That's a plane.
It is a plane, good. Yeah. Mystery Jets.
They're a band. Yes. I'm aware of their work.
Hell Diver, Denzel. Hell Diver.
I'm going to say band.
It's a plane.
Oh, I'm thinking too much.
It's a Curtiss SB2C. Hellraiser.
That's my cousin.
Band, plane, or cousin?
Plane.
Is a band. Stratofortress.
That's a plane.
Is a plane, good. And finally, Matt, B-52s.
Both.
There you go.
Okay. Everyone gets a point.
Let's find out from Dave what the scores are. Dave, what are the scores?
It's Matt, 5.5, yeah. And Denzel, 5.
But Denzel's the guest, so that makes him the winner.
Yeah.
He's the winner.
All right.
Right. Denzel Washington there opens, flight opens. Do you know the date it opens in the UK?
February 1, I think.
February 1, you heard it straight from the pilot's mouth.
That's right.
Denzel, thanks so much for coming in. It was a pleasure. Pleasure's all you too. Denzel Washington on XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
It's time to play Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on the radio. Let's get a player chosen at random for all the people who texted the word win and their name to 83936. Let's find out who will be playing today. Hello, is that Marek?
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good, not too bad.
Quite nice day today.
Great. It is a nice day, isn't it? The sun's out, isn't it? A little bit?
Yeah.
Sun's out. Right. Very pleasant. Good. Good, good, good. But it means nothing to you, Marek. You're about to be sent on a mission, of course. A mission in the dark, Marek. So the sunshine, frankly, you'd be better off with Biffy Clyro's black chandelier than you would the sunshine for where you're going. So let me explain the rules to you, Marek. This is how it works. What do you do, Marek, first of all? What do you do?
I'm a van driver.
You're a van driver. That's not going to help at all, I'm afraid. But let's see how we do. You are playing for Two Door Cinema Club tickets, of course, as we know.
Yeah.
It is Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on the radio. Here's the setup. You are a US Marine captain, Marek. Deployed during the Second Cold War in the year 2025, China and the United States are struggling for supremacy in a world that is bloody and strewn with conflict, Marek. You command a shadowy organisation, a deniable military outfit from your van, who are called in when no one else can help. Your task, Marek, this morning is to cripple the Chinese stock exchange in response to a threat to curb the export of rare earth elements. Your task is to steal the elements from a disused Chinese nuclear reactor in space. Obviously. Once gameplay begins, there will be enemies to shoot, enemies, soldiers. But let's be careful, because also in that nuclear facility, there are innocent bystanders, for example. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be very careful and listen to what pops up. Your controls are these. Run, jump, shoot, don't shoot, draw satirical cartoon, hide, flick through it.
Okay.
Lip sync to backing track.
Yep.
Duck. Or stand on a chair and scream, "Help, it's a mouse." Those are your controls. There is a bonus level, which could happen at any time, Marek, for extra points. Are you ready to play?
Ready.
Let the game begin. Marek, you have entered the nuclear facility by a side door. In front of you is the reactor. You must make your way to it for some reason. Senses heightened. I'll call out what appears. You must use your skill and judgment and your controls, mate. Here we go. Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Innocent bystander.
Don't shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
An innocent bystander.
Don't shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Beyonce.
Click through it.
Beyonce miming being an enemy.
I should.
Enemy.
Shoot.
The band The Enemy.
Hide.
Innocent bystander.
Don't shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
The magazine The NME.
Click through it.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Sheila Fogarty off of Five Live.
Duck.
Enemy.
I don't know who that is.
It doesn't matter. Enemy. Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Mouse.
Shoot.
Mouse.
Get on the chair and scream help.
Bonus round. Enemy. Enemy. Mouse. Another mouse. Another mouse. Sheila Fogarty on Five Live dressed as a mouse. Mouse. Innocent bystander. End of bonus level. Enemy. Enemy.
Shoot.
Enemy.
Shoot.
Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel.
Draw a cartoon?
Yes, good.
Ah, yes.
Innocent bystander.
Don't shoot.
Mouse.
Get on the chair and scream help.
Benjamin Netanyahu dressed as a mouse.
Shoot it.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Comedian Alan Carr is one of the nation's favourite gays. To celebrate his life, an exclusive collection of the most distinctively grating noises he makes.
Oh no!
Alan Carr's Worst Laughs.
Yeah.
A timeless collection of forced campery to enjoy time and time again in the discomfort of your ears. Alan Carr's Worst Laughs contains all your favourites, including high-pitched, protracted, and the just plain awful. For the most part unlistenable, Alan Carr's Worst Laughs is perfect for blocking out the sound of nearby drilling, trying to drive bees from your garden, or damaging burglars. And if you order today, you'll also get... Doesn't Graham Norton's laugh sound like a choking baby? Absolutely free.
It's hilarious. Story.
Anyway, this is going on and on.
Oh, shit.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Good morning, then. From Foo Fighters to jazz. In one easy move. This is the point of the programme on a Friday when we like to... you're probably aware that this sort of thing happens. We work in the media, which is, you know, not even a proper job, if I'm brutally honest. But what happens is, during the week, is that PR companies trying to promote stuff. The stuff you kind of hear about when you listen to the radio or indeed read any newspaper, a lot of it is PR, it's marketing spin. And we get sort of bombarded, I guess, is the right phrase, by PR companies who send us, and every other media outlet that there is, their wares. Like a sort of marketing Simple Simon going to the fair. They bring their wares to us and expect us to taste their wares. But yeah, what they do is they don't really do their research. They just sort of carpet bomb radio stations with stuff that's irrelevant to that radio station. They don't really, you know, they don't really think, oh, XFM's audience, they're a sophisticated, very sophisticated, intelligent ABC One bunch of people. And so what we should do is skew our PR towards those listeners.
Yeah.
But rather than that, they've sent, for instance, this. Hi, Dave. This came into Dave. Dave, producer Dave. And the subject line of the email was, Hi, Dave, the girl's guide to getting a power brow. Absolutely targeting you bang on there, Dave.
Yeah, they got me.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Steph. Hello, Steph, if you're listening. And I'm working on the marketing campaign for Specialist Makeup Services, Dave. Specialist Makeup Services were recently featured in the Daily Mail Online. Already, ooh, that's a reason not to touch it then, isn't it? And due to a 200% increase in eyebrow treatment sales, and there's an increasing demand for the power brow. Now, still there's no explanation as to what a power brow
is that power brow?
I don't know. Is it what Noel Gallagher has?
Yeah, I suppose so. It's pretty powerful.
That's the world's ultimate brow, isn't it?
Do women want their brows to be that bushy, surely?
I don't know. I thought, well, you'd think, wouldn't you? Yeah, I thought it was all about the grooming of the brow.
It's not a great start to Steph's job, is it?
No. But then she's put, as a result of the popularity and demand for the power brow, whatever that is, we've created, and I've attached it, a helpful infographic guide on the girl's guide to getting a power brow, Dave. If you can use this in your programme, Dave, this would be great. The infographic is attached in this email. Please do not hesitate to contact me. I'm afraid, Steph, we hesitated quite a long time, to the point that we haven't contacted you at all. But thanks for sending that in, targeting... Yeah.
targeting as well there. You've got one, Matt.
Yeah, a couple of weird ones here. The lead singer of Shawaddy Waddy, Dave Barton, has been offered up for a feature on his book, The Boys of Summer. I can see that working on The Breakfast Show. I've been invited this week to Spring Into Spring at the RHS Royal London Spring Fair Late.
That's nice.
With a 50s theme this year. That's at the end of March. Also, Chris Packham to host Symbolic Tree Planting at the University of Salford.
Who would not be interested in that?
This could be a line for my next bulletin. The environmentalist and broadcaster Chris Packham is to host a Symbolic Tree Planting.
I love Chris Packham. I love him.
At the University
of Salford. I love him so much I'd go to that.
This is in partnership with Velvet Toilet Tissue and Trees for Cities.
Of course it is.
Yeah, great.
This is Stephen Cave. Would you like to talk to Stephen Cave?
Stephen Cave?
Yeah, Stephen Cave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what he's going to talk about if we wanted him? Immortality, Matt.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Sermons are given every Sunday that promise everlasting life for the righteous. And Stephen Cave is happy to come on XMN Breakfast and talk about that. But brilliantly, the second paragraph of the email, this is how they've lured us in.
This is
the line that they've put in on the press release. It just says, "We're all afraid of the Reaper." "And we're all pursuing strategies to deny and defy or defeat him.
Well,
whether we hope to quaff the elixir of life, to rise again, or to live on as a spirit, Stephen Cave will come and talk to you about that."
Wow.
Cave.
Book him in.
Get Cave.
Sounds good.
We want Cave.
How are we all? We're all afraid of the Reaper.
I certainly am.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So that was the, thank you for listening. That was the least worst bits of this week's XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. And there will be another, it was enjoyable, wasn't it?
Mm.
I sat through all that, it was quite nice. It was an easy listen. Yeah, pleasant. He knows worse things, isn't he?
It was entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly flew by for me, because I was off my face on Rufflecopter.